Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson.
All right. Good evening, and happy Monday to you out there. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and we are ready to get some things started tonight. That's right. Y'all know Monday's usually open mic night, but, you know, I want to start it off with something I thought about the other day, and I just want to get your opinion. And then we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I see my man Tony's in the chat room. I'm glad to see you, bro. It's been a while. Now, before we get to talking about the topic, hey, check this out, man. Anybody watch them football games this weekend? They were great games. I tell you, if you missed it, oh, well. Oh, well. My Jaguars lost, but that's all right. They look good in losing. It's okay. Now, anyway. So what y'all do over the weekend, man? Do y'all have fun this weekend? What did y'all do? I bet some of y'all went out there and barbecued. Oh, y'all went to barbecue. yeah, for real. Anyway, y'all know, y'all might as well get ready. Every Monday, I'm talking about my Jaguars. I don't care. They go 0-16, which they're not going to do, but I'm talking about them anyway because they're my team. So if you don't like it, oh, well, blah, 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 say, blue, blue. All right, y'all. Tonight we on at 8 o'clock, and, you know, not usually our usual time, but it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we have to do what we have to do, right? Right. Now, tonight, the topic is, when is the right time? Now, I know some of y'all are like, when is the right time? What? Why has got to be the right time? When is it the right time to start dating after you lose a loved one? A spouse. Let me go on and specify a spouse. Or a girlfriend or boyfriend, depending on how long y'all been together. Now, we're not talking about 1 or 2 years now. We're talking about maybe 5, 6, 7, 10, 18, 25, 52 years. That's some years, huh? They jumped right on up there. But, yeah. You know, what is there a specific time frame that you should wait before you decide to go ahead and start dating again or even think about dating? Or should you think about it, talk to your family and see what they think first? Or is it just a soul decision to be made by yourself? Just some of the things you have to think about, huh? Now, you know, I know some of the experts, so-called experts, they say, well, you know, you have to wait at least, try and wait at least a year. But does that really, I know, Tony, that's hard. Is a year enough time to get over your grieving? I mean, if you've been with that person for, ooh, Lord, say over 10, 15 years, do you think a year would be enough? You know, unless, you know, y'all was on bad terms. Even if y'all were on bad terms, I still wouldn't think you could just go out there and just start dating them right away. You know, because you know, and that's the thing people don't understand. When you're with someone and for all those years, y'all become a part of each other, right? And when you're becoming a part of each other, then that means you just can't do it. I don't see. I think at least, what, 18 months? That's what I say, 18 months. You know, at least 18 months. If it's 18 months, then you have a little time to grieve and work things out and maybe get some things together. But I don't think a year is enough time. Now, I may be wrong. And, you know, like I asked some people, you know, over the weekend, and some basically say, well, that just depends on the person. But I'm telling you, if it was me, and I had a family decide they want to date before within the year's time, I don't know. I would have a problem with that. I'm just saying that that's my opinion, but I would have a problem with that. Hmm. What about you, Tony? Would you have a problem with that? I mean, within a year's time? Now, this, wait a minute. Let me put this claim out. This doesn't include, you know, if someone has been ill for a very long time. That doesn't count. Okay, that doesn't count at all. Okay. Now, but if it's like, you know, everybody's healthy, you know, or may, you know, become ill at the end of the marriage or relationship, then, you know, that counts too. Just something to think about. Hey, if y'all want to give me a comment or let me know what you think on the subject tonight, just give me a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or join me in my chat room. Just go to your social media site, log in, and come on and join me. You know, it's no problem. It's no problem. Hey, so back to what I was talking about. So when is the right time, or is there a right time to start dating after a spouse has died, have died? Is there a right time? Because I know sometimes, you know, that's a hard thing to think about, number one. You know, you lose that special person, and it's hard. You know, let me ask this question. Does it depend on how long you've been together? And whether you've been on good or bad terms? Could that place a part of the decision of whether you want to start dating or not? Because I know some people have just decided they're not going to date at all. You know, what's this over with? I mean, and they've made this decision. Well, each of them was living. But is that fair? Is that really fair for them to hold them to that? You know, I mean, just asking. You know, like I said, I asked some people this over the weekend, you know, and the majority of them agreed, you know, that it just depended on how long the people were together. Interesting. You know, and then they brought up something else that was quite interesting. You know, even though you've lost that loved one, you know, you may have to start dating someone or get back in a relationship for financial reasons. Would that be an acceptable reason for getting out there and dating again? And how do you do that? You know, and how do you know when you're ready? Come on, y'all, talk to me. How do you know when you're ready to start dating again? 347-838-8622. Hey, give me a call and let me know what you're thinking. Because I really want to know how y'all think about that. Like I said, personally, I think 18 months. After 18 months, then, you know, maybe, you may be ready. But you're just going to need that long just to get settled back in, you know. Because a lot of people, once, you know, they lose their loved one, man, it's like the whole world stops for a moment. You know, then you have to get settled all back in, all over again. And what happens? They never get over it, right? So, how do we help them get over it, number one? And if so, how do we? Is it possible to get out there and start dating again? I'm just asking you questions, y'all. I mean, I want y'all to help me out here. Because I really want y'all to help me out because it's getting crazy. I want to know. Now, I can tell you what some of the experts say, okay? Say, number one, take time to accept the death. Now, that's a gimme, right? Now, this is all before you decide you want to get back out there in the dating world. Before you get back out there inside, you want to get your swerve on. And remind me later on, y'all, to tell me, let me tell y'all what the swag really mean, okay? Anyway. Take time to accept the death. The only way to deal with death, no matter how painful that might be, is to accept it, not fight it. Yes, the loved one has died, but that don't mean you have to die. You have to die too. You know, just pick up the pieces and go from there. Now, that's what the experts say. Number one, the number one thing you have to do is take time to accept death, the death. If that's the case, then how long will it take you to do that? Or is it just, what, is it just an individual thing? I just want to know. I mean, is it an individual thing that determines how long it takes you to get over it? Because I'm saying 18 months. I still say 18 months. It says depends if you killed them, no sense in waiting. Oh, Lord. Well, I hopefully you haven't killed them. In that case, yeah, you probably ready to start dating right away. So we ain't going to worry about that part of it, okay? You know what? Yeah, boy, I tell you, y'all just start something. But what about that, huh? If you just kill them, get rid of them, then you don't really have to worry about it, right? You just start dating. Or what if somebody comes up to your family member and asks if it's all right to date that spouse or your father, grandfather, or whoever? What I mean, does the family have a decision, a place to make the decision? Do they help you make that decision where it's time for you to go on out there and you know, start dating, getting back in the dating world again? That's what Drew Peterson did. Well, we're not talking about Drew Peterson because, see, Drew Peterson had issues. He had some serious issues. You know, I don't know I don't even know why he bothered to marry him. I guess just to kill him, huh? I know. You know what? I mean, we're going to move on from this because I see y'all don't really want to talk about this tonight, but it's okay. It's okay. I just was wondering, there's something that came to me. You know, you see all these commercials on TV about, you know, AARP and all that and death and what have you. And I just wanted to know, what was there a specific time frame that you had to wait before you can start dating again? And like I said before, many people I asked this weekend, the consensus was, it just depends on the person and how long y'all been together. So, and how long it takes you to grieve. Now, I tell you now, it takes you to grieve, then, hey, it takes people a long time, different. People grieve differently. You know what I mean? You know, you may have somebody that's like, okay, it's over with, they're dead, thank you, bye. Then you have someone, you know, that may just seems lost without that special someone. You know. You know, and the experts, you know, I'm reading slowly what they got going on here. And it says, take time to feel good about yourself. So, you know, and that's a true statement, though, because a lot of times people don't feel good about themselves. You know, the death of a loved one affects our lifestyle and changes our self-image. Grief can rapidly shape us and help us discover a new independence and outlook on things. Is that true, y'all? I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking questions. You know, y'all help me out now. Is that possible? Is that possible that death can change you? You know, I don't know. I guess it can. If it can make you stronger, maybe, right? Or do you think it'll make you weaker? You know, I don't know. I don't know. All right, we're going to move on. Hey, what y'all want to talk about? Tell me what y'all want to talk about. Okay? Now, two things we're not going to talk about. And I'll tell y'all later. Guess what, y'all? I was doing some research over the weekend. And I ran across a certain word in the dictionary. Now, this was in the Urban Dictionary. And you know what that word was? Swag. That's right, swag. You know, since everybody got to get their swag on now, You know, these dang on young folk. And I was just wondering, what was that? What was the swag? So I went to a Urban Dictionary. You know, that's supposed to be one that's up to date on everything. And I'm going to tell you, I found out some interesting things. You know, it's amazing how people make it turn out to be something they want it to be, but they'll never tell the truth about it, right? Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, let's see. Swag. Secretly, we are gay. Okay? Yeah, I mean, that's what it said. Secretly, we are gay. And that's what they used to, that's what it used to mean back in the 60s. Swag. S is for secretly, W is for we, A is for R, and G is for gay. Secretly, we are gay. That was swag stood for back in the 60s. Now, you know, of course, this new generation, they done changed it up, but that's the original, what their word originally meant. You know? Yeah, swag. Let me explain. Let me type it out. Swag. Yeah, secretly we are gay. Now look at them letters I just typed down there. You can see they match up. I'm just saying. Now that's out the Urban Dictionary. that's what it is. So why do we go through that kind of stuff anyway? I guess it's just something that goes around no matter what. It's just the rotation of the way things go, huh? See me swagging it up. Well, you know, I think y'all better let y'all sons and daughters know what that really means. Where they go. Well, you know what? It probably don't even matter because I'm sure everybody know what the sagging, where the sagging came from. And they don't even care about that, so I'm sure they ain't going to care about the swag. But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because you know what? Eventually, they're going to stop, and they're going to come up with something else, like always. Just wait for the next top video come out. That's right. Wait for the next video come out, and I'll be dang on. They're going to be out there doing their thing. The death of the swag. But that's right. That's right. So, some things I just run across, and I think y'all need to let y'all know. Because, you know, listen to the kids and teenagers today, man. We'll be out there sometimes because, you know, they won't tell you the whole thing. You know, I'm just saying. So what went on this weekend we need to talk about? What major went on this weekend besides the football games? Because I know y'all don't want to talk about no football. Janet, what went on this weekend you want to talk about? Guess 6671. What went on you want to talk about? Give me something. You know, it is open mic Monday, so y'all can talk about whatever you want to. I comment on it, that's for sure. That is for sure. Hey, what about Serena, y'all? Serena went and took the U.S. Open again. I tell you, that is a talented young lady. She's talented. I mean, that girl, boy, can you imagine one of them tennis balls? Look, I went and tried to play some tennis. I ain't going to lie to you. And, man, I was doing all that running. I couldn't even get the ball in the squares when I was ready to trying to serve. I couldn't get the ball. And just think, she'd be doing it, and the ball would be like 100 and something miles an hour. I couldn't get them to go in at 5 miles an hour. That takes effort, practice. You got to be good on that. You know what I mean? So congratulations to Miss Serena Williams, the U.S. Open tennis champion. Cool, man, cool. Is Tiger ever going to get it together, y'all? Him and his golf, he ever going to get it together? Because I think Tiger, they done kind of threw Tiger off now. You know, ever since that little incident where he ran into the tree and he had to give up all them girls, Tiger haven't been the same, y'all. He ain't been the same. That, you know what? That was his kryptonite right there. That was his kryptonite. Superman can't do nothing without that kryptonite. I'm just serious. And y'all know it's true. Y'all know it's true. Because it just went on and on and on. Now you don't hear nothing about it. You know why you don't hear anything about it? Because Tiger not winning anything. That's right. Tiger not winning anything. So, I mean, he finished in second. He finished in third. One time he finished 29th or something like that, 43rd. I mean, really, that's a long way down. But y'all know what? Check this out. And here's where we missed the boat on that. Everybody think you have to win in golf to make something happen. You don't, man. You know, you make money. If, as long as you was in the top 10, maybe top 20, you making money. You still making money. I mean, yes, it'd be good to win, but as long as I just sit there, hey, if I can get in within the top 20, that's all right. That's some more change in my pocket. Yeah. That's some more change in our pocket. Hey, y'all listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. You want to join in tonight? Tonight is Open Mic Monday. We didn't talk about a little topic real fast because, you know, that was kind of downing me, man, putting me down. And so I had to move on, you know, kind of depressing. So if you want to join in the conversation today and talk about what went on with you over the weekend, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join me in the chat room. Just go to your local social media site, log in, and join me. And we'll be all right. We will be all right. I'm just saying. But yeah, you know, that Tennyson is something else. And Tiger, man, I don't know. Tiger need to come up with something. Have y'all noticed baseball is going on? Does anybody really watch baseball anymore until it gets to the playoffs? Because I know I don't. I could care less. I could care less about it until it gets to the playoffs. I mean, when I say the playoffs, I mean like the World Series. Something, you know, where it's about over with. And didn't the NBA just get through? Now they finna get ready to start up next month already? Wow. What happened? You know, what really happened? It was a long time. That, man, seemed like their season just ended and they getting ready to start playing again next month. That is crazy. Shoot, football just be getting started then. You know, I'm a football fanatic, so, I can watch football year-round. They need to bring back the Europe League. Yeah. I like that league right there. That was the bomb league. Welcome, guest 7389. We're talking about anything. So if you want to join in the conversation, hey, bring it. You know, 347-838-8622. Oh, we can chat it up in the chat room. It don't matter. You know, but anyway. Now, what was I talking about? Y'all know what I tell you. Sometimes you be talking about things and your mind just go blank. That's not a good thing, is it? I know. Your mind just go blank. You're like, what the world going on with this? Because your mind just goes sometimes. I know mine does. And you know why it goes? See, just went again. I can't even remember what I was about to say. Oh, Lord. It's Monday, y'all. Let's get some laugh on. Because y'all know y'all done went to work. Y'all done worked hard today. You know, nobody wants to be at work anyway on Monday. Because you done had such a good time on a weekend. Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, and the more y'all work, the better. You know, sometimes you go to work and you feel good when you're at work, but you hate to come home. Is that kind of backwards or what? I think that's kind of backwards. You know, because you're supposed to feel good when you go home and not feel so good. Well, why can't you have both worlds? Why can't you feel good at work and at home? I guess it depends on the job. Now, check this out. How many of y'all out there actually doing the job that you love to do, that you're happy to do? How many of you actually are working in the field that you want to work in? I'm just curious. Because you know what? That has a lot to do with happiness, somebody happiness. I'm for sure. I'm for real. That has a lot to do with how happy a person is and how productive they are in the workplace. Yeah, it's true. Hey, how many of y'all get to listen to music at work? See, that helps too. Not too many companies let you listen to music anymore. You know, because some of y'all get out there and get carried away with that music. Y'all be wanting to dance and act crazy. You know, have it turned up all loud with Lil Wayne and Lil Jon and all them other people. Yeah, I'm just saying. It's Monday, y'all. We talking about anything. So if you want to talk, call me. Call me and talk to me. You know, I said my little bit about when is the right time. I say 18 months. That's what I say. 18 months, and that's it. After 18 months, if you feel like you want to get out there in the dating world again, fine, go at it. Now, if you don't, okay, you can do that too. No, it just depends on the person. As you know, my little survey, I found on my survey over the weekend, just depends on the person involved. And how long you've been together with that individual that passed on. And just basically how you feel all together. You know. Because some people make that pact before they even get married. You know. Some people make that pact when they get married, you know, that if I die, you know, you can go ahead and date or remarry. And then some say, well, no. No, you can't. So does that really is the, can you hold somebody to that thing right there? I don't know. But I see I got me a caller in. Caller, you know what? I'm finna talk to you. I know. Ooh, here we go. Hey, welcome to Let's Talk. You're on the air.
Sounds like you're having a happy Monday there, Eric.
How you doing, Mr. Solution? Yeah, I'm having a happy Monday. Yeah, it's been a busy day, I tell you.
Good. Oh, yeah. So are you working a job that you absolutely love?
Oh, yeah, I am, actually. You know, because I learned a long time ago. You know, I'm at the age now, so I can do that. I can find what I want to do and just be happy at doing it.
Well, there you go. That's important. You know. It's really not work then. I was discussing with an individual, with Adam was, Adam and Eve, but Adam was he was a husbandryman. In other words, he was to keep the garden, to keep it and to dress it, as it points out. But that wasn't work for him. That was a natural activity that he was to be engaged in order to occupy himself. Since we are time sensitive, we need something to do to actually pass the time. So that was a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was beautiful. That you made it sound even better. You know, you have such a way of saying things.
And there are some people, not most people. I think the book is How to Fly Your Parachute, and it's about the work. Most people are unhappy with their work. They work to feed themselves, and they're not happy. Now, a part of that is due to their own fault, by the way, because if you really look for what you want, ultimately you can get close to it. You may not be able to find it, you know, at the out the chute. But I think this is something else we don't really deal with. I mean, how many of us, when we go to college, know what we want? How many of us know how to prepare for what we want? What I find so often is, like, especially with people who have a business, a family business, of course, children will migrate into that business. Now, they have an option to do other things. I know of a situation in L.A. where guys went off to college, and then they came back to working their to work in their father's tire business. They sell a lot of tires, and you know, but that's just one example. There are a number of other examples where the kids go off to college and then come back and work at the family business. And
right.
I'm just using that because I know they do it at their own volition. They do it at their own choice. They could work someplace else, but they choose to work in their family business.
Mm. You know what? But even though they come back and do that, how many of you think are really happy doing that, though? Or do they do it just out of the feeling of obligation, being obligated?
Well, some of it's that, and you know, one has to ask themselves, how happy does one have to be happy?
Hmm.
I know one individual, now this lady is a CPA, but she works in her, she took over her father's, they had a construction business.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that was a challenge, I believe. But anyway, she appears to run it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
right,
but you say, how happy is she, or are the kids?
Yeah.
Next time I speak with her, I'm going to inquire if she's. She seems reasonably happy. She worked in a job before coming there full time. The father got elderly, of course, and then his health started failing, so she
right.
took over. He didn't have a son
mm-hmm.
that was. That was able to actually take over. But she seems
okay.
reasonably happy. A little bit is probably obligation. And then, of course, I'm sure she enjoys it. She's the boss. Bosses are usually happier at any job than employees. I mean, according to the surveys that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they have more power.
Right. That's true. That is very true. All right, hold on, Ms. Solution. Look like we got a caller coming in from the state of Florida. Let's see what we got going on here. Good evening.
That would be me.
All right. You're on Let's Talk. What can I say? What's on your mind? Yeah, me and Mr. Solution.
No, I'm not working at a job that I love. I'm working at a job that I need.
Well, I mean... A lot of people like that. I mean, that's a necessity, right? You have to feed yourself.
Yes.
But have you ever worked in a job that you actually loved, was happy to do?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I wish I was still there, but another company took over, so that is that. But no, I can't really say, out of all of them that I worked at, I've only really liked one. Oh, two.
Has that been recent, or has it been a while?
It's been a long time ago. Yep.
So why did you stay in, you don't mind me asking, why didn't you stay in that field?
Well,
I mean, the one that you liked.
There were two. The first one didn't pay anything.
Mm.
And I was a single mom with a 3-year-old. So I couldn't stay where there was no money.
Right.
And
right.
the second one, another company bought out, and they wanted their own employees. So I was suggesting that.
Oh, okay. Mr. Solution, you want to get any of this?
And I was a single mom with a 3-year-old.
All right, what was the point that was made, Eric?
No, I was just asking her. You're saying the first job, she had two jobs that she really liked. And the first one was she had to stop. I asked her, why didn't she stay there? And she said the first one was because they didn't pay any money. She had to feed her kids. And the second one was because it was a new contract. I mean, a new company came in, and they wanted their own individuals to do work.
Right.
But both of them, the ones that I really, really liked, didn't pay. They didn't pay. The ones that I hated, they paid. And they paid well.
They paid well. So we just had to make a sacrifice, huh?
Indeed. It's called bills.
Yeah, I know what that means. Well, let me tell you, do you ever plan on getting back into any one of the fields that you like? That you enjoy? No?
No. I'm going to do something totally different. This time I'm going to be the boss. So I'm going to really love that.
So how are you going to be the boss? Are you going to open your own business?
It's going to be my, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And when you open your business, where are you going to open it up at? In the neighborhood?
I would like to, but I would probably need to cross a bridge or two, go on the other side of town.
But why?
Yep.
Why? How many businesses do you have in the neighborhood that's in your neighborhood now?
Lots of them.
That's successful?
Well, I really can't say how successful that they are, but I would have to go on the other side of town to get the kind of traffic that I want.
Okay.
What kind of business are you opening?
That was my next question.
It's going to be a child care.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that can be pretty lucrative. I mean,
yeah.
People have to have child care because they have to work.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that's real heavy around here. You know, being a military community.
I'll keep their kid while they go to the job that they hate.
Lord. But so let me tell you. So you done started working on your business plan and all that now, or you just getting
I had.
Early stages.
It's the early stages. Oh, I was intending to open it up this summer, but Dad passed, so I kind of put everything on hold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But definitely next year, the beginning of next year is when I want to do it. But the reason why I wanted it on the other side of town because I wanted to gear it toward people that work in call centers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because they're, you know, they're trying to rush to leave the job, and you got that, now daycare is charged you by the minute that you're late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine will be open later, so I'll get the bulk of the business.
Okay.
What's the average amount that it costs for a daycare? I mean, what would be the week? Do you charge on a weekly basis or a monthly basis? And if so, how much would it cost for, I guess, they go to school, they go to kindergarten at 5, right? Roughly 5 or 6.
Right, well, depends.
Pre-K,
yeah, depends.
Pre-K starts, they can do pre-K, but it depends. You can charge a whole lot for infants and children that are not potty trained. I don't want to start off with the infants right away. I want to start off with the 2-year-olds.
Oh, 2-year-olds. So how much would it cost per week to care for a 2-year-old?
That varies. It depends on what you're offering.
Give me a range.
That can start anywhere from $150 up.
Really?
Yes.
$150 per week?
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, wow. That's a bargain compared to what's going on around here. I mean,
that's what
right.
Yeah.
Man,
you
that's
may get
a bargain.
Overloaded. How many hours? How many hours regular?
What do you mean, how many hours?
Well,
how many hours
would one keep the child? Because you talked about charging for every minute over a certain time.
Now that $150, that's starting. That's on the low end. But if we, well, we're going to open at 6 and close at 8. So
6 in the morning and close at 8 at night?
Yeah.
Wow. That's 14 hours. Sounds like the hours I work.
Yeah, and a lot of people work those hours. I mean, I watch them now rushing to leave work to go put them somewhere else or hoping somebody else picks them up and put them in the after school daycare that'll stay open later. I'd rather add all of that into our business. So they can stay with us as late as 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Daycare,
I understand, is pretty expensive. I was hoping you would give a figure. I think I've heard something like 500, don't quote me on this, Eric, but like 500 a week. So daycare is so expensive that it's generally better for one parent to be able to stay at home and take care of their own children. And I think that's the best way to go. I know this may cause a storm of controversy, but, you know, it's been advised by some people, a popular female talk host, used to say that if one parent couldn't afford to stay home, and that cuts out the, you know, just the single parent, well, then they should save up enough money to, you know, to be able to take care of the child. Or delay having a child until they raise the money to have one parent stay home. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what?
It requires two people to work these days, without a child. So,
I mean, being,
I don't know. That's
okay. being former military and having soldiers, you know, with kids. That can be kind of challenging sometimes. I mean, and being that I was married and, you know, my ex-wife had twins, so I got caught up in that sometimes as well. And it really does help for one parent to stay home, though. It really does, believe it or not. You know, because once I retired, you know, and I was home all the time, everything ran a little smoother, you know, because you didn't have to worry about that other stuff.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, at some point in the future, and it may not be that far, there will probably be this uprising of people who are virtually androids, because taking a child to another person to raise it, I think that's not a good idea, because that person doesn't love the child. They're just raising it, you know, based on money. And one of the things I know that little children need is the love of a parent. At least one of the parents should be able to, you know, stay at home and see after it. Would you agree with that, Eric?
Well, to a certain extent, but I know some instances where they get more of it at daycare than they do at home. You know, I know. Huh? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, thanks. See, what you're using there is to use an abnormal situation and attempt to apply it to the norm. That's what you call a bass-ackwards example.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying.
we can start off talking about, you know, a one-legged person running a race. But is that the way we want to really, open the discussion?
Not at all. Not at all. No, not at all. You know, but
we can always find bad examples of something to
introduce
in order to see the problem with our thinking. It's like the Goonie Bird. You know, they say the Goonie Bird flies backwards so it won't get sand in its eye. And I think a lot of our examples of life are Goonie Bird examples. We don't start out with the normal. We start out with the abnormal to end up proving a dysfunctional point.
Huh, okay. You know what? I can agree with that. I can. But you're right. I was just speaking of, you know, I know a case where, you know, that happens, so. In a certain daycare, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Oh yeah, you have situations where you know, some kids, and I know there's a proverb, there's a scripture that says train up a child in the way, and this is girl and boy, but you can use the term he generically, but train up a child the way he or she should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, that's not an absolute law, but that is a general rule that's true if it is practiced. Now, there are some kids that are just going to be, lack of a better word, outlaws no matter what. They're just going to be bad because they choose to be that way. However, however, in most two-parent families, if you have both mom and the dad there, the children will turn out better. I think there's a plethora of data, research data, to back that up. Where you have two parents in the home that are together and committed, that not only provides protection for the children as they're growing up, but it also provides a model or an example that they can use, you know, once they leave home and attempt to establish their own relationships.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, I did my research on that, and, yes, there's a whole plethora, as you say, of, you know, information that states that, which, you know, is a good thing. At least something is happening. You know, and Janet, you still there?
Yes.
Okay. And let's see, what side of town you live on? North side? Okay. So you're talking about moving over where? Arlington? South side?
South side.
Okay. So you know what? I understand you said 150. I'm like, shoot, you know, moving over there, you can take it a little bit higher.
Oh, yeah, over there, it'll be a lot higher.
Yeah, but see, what you have to do, though, you have to be prepared for the military, too, because I'm sure you got some military out there. So you may want to think about opening up a little bit earlier. You know, the soldiers have formation early in the morning time. I'm just saying.
How early is that? How early are we talking?
Oh, about 7, 6:37. Sometimes, I know some of them around here open at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
You know, yeah. You know, because soldiers have to be in early to do their PT and all that good stuff.
Oh, okay.
I mean, just letting them know, but not that.
You
know. Yeah.
So. I got you.
Wow. Mr. Wow. Solution?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So tell me, what happened to you this weekend that was exciting and new?
I don't know if anything was cataclysmic, but I tell you what, I guess that the thing that was that most stands out, I did about, I'm going to clock it with my odometer, but I think I did about 25, 30 miles on my bike. I've started biking.
All right.
Yeah, and that was very nice because, and I plan to take a trip to Malibu. Yeah, I'm going to go up there and visit a nice restaurant. A friend may ride with me, but, you know, I can hop on that bike, and let me tell you, man. Let me just say, I'm a fan of Westerns, okay? And I think a bike, for all intents and purposes, is as good as a horse, if not better, because I did about 30, I'm going to say right at between 25 and 30 miles. Now, I'm a little bit, just a little bit tired from having done that, but that's okay. That's good. And I may be up to 100 before long. I may be up at about 6 and may do a 12-hour day on some days.
Yeah, I know, right? Hold on. I got somebody else waiting in line. I think I know who it is, but we're going to see. Hold on. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind? Hello? Hello? Good evening. You're on Let's Talk. Are you there? Oh, I guess they don't want to talk right now. Okay. But you know what? My uncle, I have an uncle, and he likes to do the bicycling. And, man, he be riding all over the place. I mean, and you know, he loves it. You know, the bicycles, man, are so light and quick, though. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had mine. I got rid of those heavy wheels and rims. I mean, I picked the bike up, and I kid you not, it was almost as light as a feather. I got these. Now I'm going to take it back and get some heavy duty tires because I'm mostly a sidewalk person or a bike path person. I don't get in the road.
Okay.
And sometimes the sidewalks have some irregularities, so I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to get those. I mean, the super tires. I'm going to get the best set they have, heavy duty, and I'm off. You know, it's wonderful. And I was reading about riding a bike. It is so good for your health. It clears your mind. And you can work longer. I can go on a five and a half hour bike ride, but I wouldn't work out that long doing anything else that I can think of.
Oh, okay.
So it's enjoyment and exercise at the same time.
Cool. Yeah, and that's the best part about it. That is the best part. Okay, I think we got them back on the line now. Hold on.
I'm going to comment on the marriage thing, too.
Okay. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk.
Who, me?
Yeah, you, Joe.
Okay.
But hold on. Let Mr. Solution comment real fast.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mr. Solution.
No, let Joe go ahead. No, I think you have some time. What's up, Joe? How you doing?
Hey, Rich. What's up?
All right.
All right. Oh, well, hold on. I got another caller.
Okay.
Well, they coming in now. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're on Let's Talk.
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. What's on your mind?
I was just going to share Mr. Lucian's. Oh. Ain't nobody caring about his own body and how that bike working.
You know she likes you, Rich, when she starts off like that.
Now, why you want to go bother Mr. Solution?
How y'all doing this evening?
Okay.
God is the Ancient of Days.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So happy Monday to you, too.
Also, when she likes somebody, she slaps them.
Yeah, is that what that is?
That's it. Oh, it's like the kid in first grade when they take the ponytail and they put it in the inkwell, you know, from years and years ago when they start bothering you, you know they like you.
No, actually, that's not what it is, Joe. I just wanted to call him because I got tired of listening to him sound like an old geriatric patient.
Yeah, right.
Next thing you know, you'll be hearing about how his bowel movement was in a minute. You know, I couldn't really go last night.
Actually, you sound like you need a bowel movement.
Actually, I don't need one. I'm regular. Thank you for the inquiry, though. Fill him up, worked wonders.
What's the deal? We were talking about biking initially, then we were going to get into marriage, when should one remarry? So what's your spiel?
You know what? I think that when people get married, especially if they have adult children, just sneak off and do it. Don't tell the children because they're going to be mad. Just sneak off and get married.
Sneak off and get married?
Don't children function like little children. You go get married, problem that, you're going to be mad. But if you don't have any children, and your spouse died, and you know you're ready to move on, you know, you really have to just listen to your heart, because I really don't believe in everybody being in your business and trying to dictate to you when you should and shouldn't do something, because that'll just mess up something. I'm serious.
Now, that's
but
an interesting point.
The original question was, when should you remarry after your spouse has died?
Well,
I mean, when you marry.
Go ahead.
It depends on when the person wants to remarry. I mean, you know, there are different factors. When you, if you have small children, can they handle another person coming into daddy or mommy's life? Or when you get older, you know, you, some of your children may not like the fact that you get remarried. And if your spouse just died, I don't think that that's a good idea, but to each his own. I mean, but the it depends on if the person had cancer and they were, you know, long-term ill, long, you know, terminally ill, and they were, you know, 1 foot out the door anyway, and that person had been putting their whole life on hold to care for that person, and
well, I mean,
now that they're,
that,
you know, no longer with us, I mean, it's different,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but see, you weren't around when I first started. Because I say, okay, as far as illness, you know, that's a whole nother dynamic, you know. So I understand
right.
that, you know. But I'm,
right.
I'm, what I'm talking about is regular, you know, marriage, and you know, eventually you pass on. And you know, I was just asking the question: when is the right time, or is there a right time?
No. Well, I'm going to give a radical opinion. I personally, especially when you're over 40 in today's day and age.
Uh-huh.
I personally don't believe marriages work out. Even if you want to marry, I wouldn't marry.
Hmm. Okay.
It entails so much of a legal entanglement. I wouldn't want to marry.
Okay. Hmm. That's an interesting
list
thought.
List the reasons why, Joe. List some of the reasons why you wouldn't get married over 40.
Because legal reasons. If I get divorced and I've made some money, half belongs to her, even though she thinks that just because she, quote-unquote, gave up the pussy, that therefore she's entitled to my money.
If you're not coming, just sign a prenuptial.
Prenups can be broken. Yeah. If Trump's can be broken, everybody's can be broken. So,
what about a postnuptial?
A postnuptial? What do you want that for?
Well, don't you want half your money, Joe, in your pocket? What you asking me for? That's old money. You trying to keep the woman from getting it? Hell.
All right, so now you're trying to reverse it back on me. If you're not going to sign a prenuptial, you're not going to get married. So you don't need a postnuptial when you're not married.
Well, some people don't have money like that, Joe, so what's the difference? If you're a man making $50,000 to $60,000, we're not talking about you, Mr. Six or Seven.
Well, you're asking
you.
Me.
We're not talking about you.
Well, you just asked me.
Now, I'm just asking any man who makes less than what you make. Okay,
you said, tell
wealthy.
Me,
we're not talking about a wealthy man.
You said, tell me, Joe. Nobody else
but
on the line.
But you said the reason why. So you're saying you don't want somebody to have your money. That's fine. For the
but
other
then
man,
I told you.
Why would you say not to get married over 40?
Yeah, for that reason. Also, you don't need to get married in order to have a good relationship. If you don't have the legal entanglements, you have peace of mind. I don't know about your significant other, but with other people and their significant other, they can do whatever they want to do without having to worry about entanglements from the law or worrying about anything else. They just want to be together. They have separate residences. They have their own space. I don't particularly care for marriage.
Yeah, I was listening to some, and Joe, had you finished? That's exactly.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, and this is absolutely, excuse me, a very, very rich topic. This is a fertile topic. I was listening to some younger guys. Of course, I'm over 40. Now, they were under 40, and they had a very cynical view of modern-day marriage for the exact reasons that Joe specified. The first thing they spoke of was the legal system. And I just listened and I went, wow, and they raised some great points. I don't think they raised them often enough, but it really started flowing. And one gentleman even said, well, I don't want anyone living in my house. I'm not living in anyone's house. And I don't want anyone living in my house. But let me just say this. Anytime one gets married, there is a prenuptial agreement. The state agreement that you sign is a prenuptial agreement backed up by the family law of that particular state.
Hmm.
So there is a prenuptial agreement. It just means an agreement that exists before the marriage is consummated. Now, Joe's right in terms of that a prenup can be broken, but there are ways to avoid it being broken. I have individual attorneys, and what a prenup does is it allows the two people to get to know each other in a way that they would not know each other otherwise, generally.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And about 80% of divorces are brought by women. Because women basically know the court favors them. And, of course, they bring the divorce to get the kids, the house, the bank account, so on and so forth, the family assets. But what men, I still believe we can work around that. I mean, I don't want to say a hopeless romantic, but maybe close. So I think if we have these type conversations, and Joe, I know you went from 99% to, I know you dropped it down to 95% in terms of women that are,
yeah, that,
that are actually relationship and marriage.
That was the optimistic side of me on a bad day.
That's exactly what I pegged it at.
Yeah, I ain't listening to Joe no more. So just turn his mic off, please.
I just recognize that fairly cynical voice of that lady.
Yeah. I say Jonah had him a good weekend or something.
Now, my view has been fairly consistent the past 20 years. I even talked about this at university when I was in university, and I talked about it then at a particular class. And a couple of women agreed with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was way ahead of my time. Way ahead of my time. I was noticing what was going on with marriages, or to be a little bit more accurate, what was not going on with marriages. So I recognized that right away. You know.
Wow. You know.
So I want to know, what does Joe see when he says what was not going on with marriages? What are you saying?
What did I just say about 2 minutes ago?
You said what wasn't going on with marriage. You said I was noticing that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah. No kidding. Why don't you pick on Mr. Solution? He's the one you like.
Why are you avoiding the question, Mr. Man? Can you answer my question? Do you need me to come to the phone and get you?
Please, no. I don't want to see the reality. The image is bad enough. Please, thanks.
Like a scene out of High Plains.
Yeah, right.
I know, right?
I know, she wants to lift you right here and now. Jesus, Jesus.
Hey, do you guys remember that scene out of High Plains Drifter?
Yeah, well,
I do.
Before
I
Clint Eastwood got senile? Yeah.
Yeah, before he got senile.
Well. Hey, he's 80. What is he? 82
now? He's 82,
now?
81, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, what is it, 3,
right.
4, and 10?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's 11 years past that, so he's doing well.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he was the mayor somewhere at one time, wasn't he?
Carmel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Carmel.
Yeah. So that was cool.
I used to live up that way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did you have the misfortune of meeting a lot of liberal women who were kind of like out of their minds?
Well, you can do that anywhere. You're in America.
Yeah, right. You don't have to be liberal.
I want to say something really quick. Hold on a minute. I'm going to say this because I figured out what it is when men say women are out of their mind.
Okay.
Let me just say this really quick.
Uh-huh.
I have figured out when men say that women are out of their mind, it's usually related to something that they don't want to hear her say. Just plain and simple.
Somebody help me.
Wow. Okay. It's usually related to something we don't want to hear?
Right.
Okay.
Let me say this. Is my mic open? I can't tell.
Yeah, it's open. Yours open.
I like to say, see, a man that's a man, or a woman that's a woman, but in this case, a man that's a man. He really doesn't need to be raised by a woman. It's annoying for a woman to try and, quote-unquote, you know, give a man a command. That just won't happen, or it won't happen much. Let's make sure of that. So see, what happened when men get to a certain plateau, they become kings. And kings don't take someone pushing them around. I mean, we can do what we want to do. We don't need you. We want you, but we don't need you. And so when you have these chips on your shoulder where you come in thinking you can wag your finger and your lips and your neck and head and all that, we kick you to the curb in an instant. We don't deal with that.
Yeah, that's true.
No, no comment from no comment? Oh, my God. What are we doing? Stuffing your mouth with potato chips?
I'm following your lead, Joe. When I don't want to answer something, I just avoid it. Like a
plate. You just avoid it, huh?
So. Oh, all right. Okay. That means he made sense then.
Why you just no, Master? You came over.
It doesn't mean he made sense. I'm just learning from you, Joe, that I pick and choose what I choose to answer.
Now,
but
so you
I'm
came
on, what you do, so
you,
I'm just
you came on the air like gangbusters. Now you don't want to answer a question, okay?
Well, you know, she can't maintain that particular attitude for long on this show with Rich and me here. Come on, please. You should be on other shows. Shit, are you kidding me? Please.
Oh, Lord.
Either they will or they hang up on
it. The marriage thing, I think if the environment is fruitful and if it's fertile, I think pairing off with the person is rather natural. If you can communicate with that person, because what a man really looks for, a balanced man, is he looks for support and respect and appreciation. Those are three essentials that a man must have with a woman. And so that's the reason I encourage women so often. Women can have a softer side. They are allowed to do that. And men need that, especially men who are driven. You know, they need that. But they need a soothing voice, not a cacophonous voice. They don't want the fingernails on the chalkboard. They want a woman who is soothing, not exacerbating and absolutely enraging. And so that's what women need to understand. Women don't often talk to real men. Because a real man will tell you exactly what he wants. He won't mutter. He won't stumble. And
I think the
so,
same thing about men that don't meet real women. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel so much time complaining about the kind of women that need to be to act accordingly. I mean, that's just from what I get from the phone call.
See, women, see what you probably do not understand. Women don't have the same prime directive as men. Not as much responsibility is put on your shoulders for life as there is with men. And you come really at the pleasure of men. Your existence is at the pleasure of men. I was just looking this up the other day, and I said... Dr. Earl Haas was the inventor of the modern-day tampon. And I'm just thinking, now a woman bought up the patent, but he was the inventor. And so women look to men virtually for everything. And realize this, too. God took you from a man's rib. And so you have an obligation, although most of you have broken that, you have an obligation to be loving toward a man. Now, I would say a good man. But a lot of women have turned into renegades. They're angry, they're bitter, and, of course, we see that every day.
And still no response. Must be another truth. Must be hurting you. What's your name?
Oh, wait, what are you? Okay,
Joe,
yeah.
Let me say something to your little ego, honey. When you feel the need to antagonize or say, what should I call the word? When you're being cynical and you're saying, oh, that must have hurt, let me say something to you.
Please.
I have learned, listening to the men on the phone, to be quiet. And when I need to say something, then I will. I don't know if you're being controlling or not or looking for a response, but because you're not able to get it, that means you get to assume that you know what's on my mind. I don't appreciate that, and I don't like it, and I don't think that you would like it if I were to assume what you were thinking. So I'm going back on mute because I have a lot of background noise, and I didn't want to interfere with the conversation, and I had to hold a conversation with somebody on the side if you must know what I was doing at the time.
Well, you know that, had you finished, or are you there still? Speaking to the, what's her name? Is that our Cosmic? What is her name, Eric?
I think that's Cosmic.
Yeah, I didn't recognize her initially. But
no,
yeah,
I didn't either.
She made an excellent point, just that latter point that she made. because it even says that in the economy of God, he is very pleased at the gentle and quiet spirit of a woman. And I think that is such a beautiful thing that's lost today. So a woman, I tell women all the time as a relationship troubleshooter, a woman who argues with a man is stupid, because she never needs to argue with a man. If he's a jackass, let him talk and prove it. You know the old adage, it's better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open one mouth and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
So the point is a woman does not have to waste the energy fighting a man. First of all, men love women. They do everything for them. If you look at the most dangerous jobs, loggers, deep sea fishermen, crop dusters, I think the Department of Labor chronicles about 50 jobs, of which I think the 25 are the most dangerous. You guys know logging. I mean, you can get hit
logging,
by
logging
and,
number
and
one.
Killed instantly.
Yeah. Yes.
And I guarantee you, a guy who's working in logging gives his money to some woman who's safe at home. So men love women, and women who feel that they got to get out there and battle with men word for word and this sort of thing, they're stupid. They're just plain stupid.
And they don't
and
even
so what I encourage women to do is to never argue with a man. Just talk with him. That's all you have to do.
One of the things I've observed is that there are men out there who feel that if you don't respond, then you'll be seen as weak.
Yeah, but don't deal with those men. Don't deal with them. That's your answer.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Did you hear that? I know there's some background noise. She said it was...
No, I'm saying I said okay.
Yeah, okay, right. Look, if you come to men have answers. We make the world work. And we make it work rightly. All you have to do, if you don't know something, just ask. Just ask. And it will be given. You like that, Eric?
I like that. That was good. That was good.
Tell me something, Mr. Solution.
Oh, boy.
If a woman, all she has to do is ask, then my question is... Because you sound like the type of man that may feel like the question she asked may not be as intelligent. So how would you handle that?
Okay, I didn't hear all of your question. Repeat it, please.
If a woman comes to you with a question you may feel that is less than intelligent, how would you handle that?
Look, I used to actually teach conflict resolution to thousands. And no question is necessarily stupid. That's always my premise. So you hear the question, and you encourage people to ask the question. So what you just said is really not true in the mind of someone who knows. And that's what I encourage women all the time. See, I tell women, I advise women that, okay, you can't get milk from a tree, okay, mm-hmm. and you can't get blood from a turnip. One of the things that you have to know is the source in which you're seeking a particular thing, whether it's wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're knocking at the door, if you're trying to get milk from a bull, you're out of luck. You've got to at least learn that milk doesn't come from a bull. And so you have to learn enough about men to know which ones to interact with. Some men will tell you right out. They'll be friendly to you, but they don't want you. One of the things that women do is they play this one-upsmanship, and it's all false, and they close themselves off. They close themselves off to the wrong men, and they don't open up to the right men. And that's part of the game that women play. But if you just learn how to ask the right men, now you have men right here. I'm going to go ahead and give you a clue. You have men right here who can answer virtually any question that you have about you, about your friends, and about men. So all you have to do is ask in this venue.
Okay.
Well, so to rebut something that you said about the having friends, I really don't have any single friends. I have people who are already in relationships as friends, because I've learned that single people tell you what they want you to hear based on single stuff, and it doesn't mix well with the fact that I'm in a relationship.
Yeah, but you're deviating from the subject that I just explained. I said you have
actually, men. I was commenting on something that you said. You said you can ask us.
Right. Men here. On the line right now.
I was saying that, you're dictating again, please stop. I was saying that in relationship two, when you say what it is, I'm letting you know that a lot of times women who have single friends and this, that, and the third, and trying to be in a relationship is a lot of times sabotage. But I'm sure you already know that. I'm just putting it out there, okay? From a woman's perspective, I just don't think that works well. I really don't.
We're talking about right here, but one of the worst people to ask for advice are other failure women with relationships. They're the and that's where women get most of their information from, TV. I'm talking about most women, dear. TV, a few female rags known as magazines, and, of course, other failed women. That's the cyclical cycle, the dysfunctional cycle, wherein most
but
women
see, this
get
is
their
the reason
information.
That, the reason that I'm saying it is because there may be somebody out there who's listening that
right.
may want
okay,
to hear
that's fine. That's
me
fine.
Say it as opposed to you say it. I understand your position, and I don't disagree with it. That's really what this is about. But I'm saying it, you know, to solidify having a person that does not have, they cannot give you what you need. It's kind of like talking to people who know what they want and they're already doing it versus people who have an idea of what they want but they don't have anything to show for it.
I'm going
or
to put myself on hold for
tools.
Just a moment, and you ask either of the men here any question you have about relationships, and I guarantee you they'll answer it for you.
I don't have a question.
No, I got a question, so.
Okay.
All right. Cosmic.
Sure.
What do you think are the major reasons why men and women don't really get along in the main?
In the what?
The major reasons why they don't get along for the most part.
Oh, the reason I think they don't get along. Too much assuming. Not enough communication.
Okay, communication is the key thing again. Okay, something which I only agree with partially. Okay, so are you saying then that if a man and a woman can go out on a few dates and they communicate effectively, whatever your particular definition of that is, that they will either get along better, or do you think that they will get along to the point where they can have a successful relationship? Would it be both or just one?
Well, that's a loaded question. I think that after a few dates, they should... Oh, gosh, a successful relationship after a few dates?
Well, either
it
one.
It depends on how well they either or.
Yeah, I'm saying you can have either one if you want to, you know, not attack either one, but if you want to address either one. Yeah.
I think, honestly, that people should date a while before they decide if they want to be in an intimate relationship, because people put on their best face.
No, I agree with you on that. What I'm asking is if they, because you said communication, I'm assuming that you meant that communication was a primary key for relationships to be successful. Am I right in that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. So if communication is the key, if two people meet, are you saying that the communication will make them enjoy the dating experience just in and of itself, or do you think that they will go beyond the dating experience to become committed. In other words, if two people can communicate, will they eventually become committed? Any two people who can get beyond, let's say, the first 2 or 3 months of getting to know one another. So if they...
Possibly.
Okay. So what do you think, besides communication, would be helpful in having a committed relationship that works?
Communication, what else would be the factor? Being open, open-minded, having an open mind in the relationship. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that people who are emotionally mature.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that is because everybody that gets together can be an intellect, but they don't have the emotional aptitude to sustain or handle a relationship.
I agree. Okay.
So, I'm gonna say communication and an emotional aptitude, because everybody that's successful, everybody that's grown, everybody that's over 21 or 45 doesn't necessarily have, they're just not emotionally mature. They're not. And to be with someone that doesn't have it is, that's a lot of work.
So if a person can communicate well, and if they have, let's say, they don't have a lot of emotional baggage, but rather that they are pretty much emotionally mature. How many people, let's take women first. How many of the women, not necessarily the women that you know, but let's say the women that you've observed, that you've seen on TV, in the movies, and at the theater, on the job, at clubs, at the gym, people that you know and people that you don't know, in general, in America in general, how many women do you think know how to communicate well and know how to be emotionally mature? Yeah. Okay. Right.
He was asking me this. I know more women who... Wait a minute. I know more women who are emotionally immature, even though they could be a principal of a school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
Well, I agree.
And
yeah.
I've seen it happen. I've seen the inability to handle confrontation just because they're being challenged.
Right.
They feel their authority is being challenged.
Right.
So to have someone that is, oh God, I mean, because when you ask, I'm probably one of the few women who I don't agree with a lot of what I see and a lot of what I hear. The whole I don't have to ask, I don't have to say, that burns me up. Because you do have to say, and you do have to ask. If you don't say, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I have to say that? That is crap to me. I mean, it's just because that's a barrier in communication. If you don't voice it, people do not know.
Right.
You know, if it just, oh gosh, even in the...
See, I'm making you think now.
I'm going to say this because I I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I find a lot of women like to play a lot of games. And that game playing shit, a lot of that is more about protecting themselves because they're so immature. And
right.
They don't know how to say what it is they want. They don't know how to open their mouth and because, you know, I don't know if they're afraid of being abandoned. I don't know if they're afraid of losing. I don't know what the... their deepest, you know, Achilles heel may be. But as I observe the game, I'm thinking, you don't get what you want because you don't say it. It's kind of like when I've talked to my old man about this. I'm like, you know, we've talked about it. it's amazing how I'll go on Tagged or I'll go on some website and the main picture is a woman's cleavage, yet in her status is saying men are coming to me on about some sex. Excuse me? What? Huh? What? I don't, that doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like he just said, that does not compute. It's so much like you can't seduce somebody with your goodies only to turn around and say, no, you can't have it. Doesn't register to me. So
okay.
I'm saying that about communication and knowing how to communicate to get someone's attention and really go with it, as opposed to, I don't know if I should say this, let me play with them for a while. I'm thinking you are already victimizing yourself because you don't think that you have what it takes to get someone. Or if you want to seduce them with your money if you have money, or you want to seduce them with your looks if you have looks or whatever, but then when you finally get to that place, you don't know what to do, or you're insecure to the point where this means your man cannot speak to another woman, you know,
What you're describing is the dynamic of a lot of women who have emotional insecurities, and you're describing part of what they feel. But how many women I'm talking about across the board, black, white, Chinese, Spanish, how many women do you think, because how many of all women do you think can communicate well and have enough emotional security in order to be a worthwhile woman in a relationship? Out of 100 women, give me, or 300 million women, it doesn't matter. What percentage of women, again, it doesn't have to be those that you know, it could be anybody that you've come across, the observations that you've had from the time that you were 5 years old to the time you are now, how many of these women do you believe have this type of communication ability and have this type of emotional security in order to be a worthwhile woman?
I would say at least 50 million, and that's just the ballpark.
Well, 50
so
million.
Many
was,
more.
Well, no, I mean, what percentage of women? I mean, 50 million out of 300 and something like 305 million people in America.
I mean,
I don't know how many. I think 100.
I say that because.
But what percentage?
I don't know everybody, but I know I can't give you percentages because I don't know the numbers. What number out of all the women? Does it matter what race?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, of all the women in America, what percentage of women do you think? Because you said a lot of women that you have observed, have known, have played games.
On average?
Yeah.
Because me personally, I don't like the shit. So I don't, it's like I say to myself, I network and whatnot. But as far as the, you know, even in the relationships and the dynamics with women, and other women, I've noticed that, you know, I have to deal with people who are emotionally mature.
What's the percentage, What's the percentage? I mean, you have women that you know who are going to be good women, and there are going to be women that you know are lousy women, and you don't know all 300 or 50 million women in America, but what percentage, based upon the culture of America?
Of what I know?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Well, what percentage? Out of 100 women, right, that you, I'm using 100 as a nice round number,
and
what percentage of the women?
What percentage of women?
Yeah.
Would you say are good, you know, out of all the races? What do you think?
No, I'll give you my answer after you give me yours.
No, I'm talking to my old man right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Are good women to be, you know, like worthwhile women that are emotionally mature?
Can anybody hear me?
Yeah. You're on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We know a lot, and you know what I'm saying?
You want me to repeat it for him? Or was he listening?
Well, he's saying 30%.
30%, okay. What do you say?
He's saying 30%, that's all women.
Right, okay. What do you say?
I would say about 25, 30.
Okay. My answer, Less than 5%.
He's saying less than 5%.
Right, he's saying less than 5%. Less than 5%. Okay. We're saying that on the level of having emotional intelligence.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Okay. You jumping in, or all right, I'll finish until you get your thoughts together then. Okay, I'm saying less than 5%, because based upon what you said, and I happen to agree that I don't think communication is the key. I think it's not as important as people think. I think the emotional aptitude, the way that you had termed it before, is extremely important. I don't think a lot of women have that. I think women can't handle pressure. I don't think
okay,
women...
let me say something, Joe. Let me say this, and I'm going to tell you why I feel like that. I think that a lot of the emotional aptitude, it lacks because... Oh, gosh. So many women have been, you know, and I see this with what they post on profiles or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have this all-about-me mentality. And so women don't want to cater to a man for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that because... I think that you should cater to each other. When
mm-hmm.
you shut out the world, that's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But the emotional aptitude is so strong, and I would say even with the men, I've seen some men that don't have it.
Right, I agree. Mm-hmm.
But when you have people who are emotionally strong and mature in the relationship, you're able to handle
mm-hmm.
whatever comes. I don't mind when we're out and other women.
Mm-hmm.
Speak to him or whatever, because it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were out the other day and another man spoke to me. He wasn't standing with me. He was actually in the van, and somebody said, and I was like, oh, he's right there. And he's, oh, my bad, I'm sorry. We got in the car, but oh, I ain't worried about that. That made me feel good. So
mm-hmm.
it just depends on how you handle your relationship and what you want with it as to how, you know, because
mm-hmm.
when you say women are not able to handle it, that's so many different factors why I've noticed they can't handle it.
Well, yeah,
I mean
they,
I got
right.
a couple of women I've heard say, well, my mama was with my daddy, and he let some woman come around, and she wrecked our home. And so, you know, you have people, like you say, with emotional baggage that
mm-hmm.
may not even be because of a man they chose, but stuff they grew up dealing with that they've never had counseling for, to deal with the fact that what happened with your parents has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're not a bad person because things didn't work out with your mother and father, but what you can do is facilitate a better way to get along and know what you really want, because I feel like people that make relationships work, they know who they are. And the people that don't make relationships work, they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, right. And you touched on something which is the premise of my philosophy about relationships. You talked about when you've gone on Facebook and noticed the me, myself, and I mentality, that's narcissism. I believe that infects women to the degree of 95 to 99%. Actually, I believe it's more than 99%. And, yeah, it affects men, too. But I believe 25% may be just pure assholes that can't ever get over their emotional baggage, that they can't become good men in a relationship. But there's 75% of men out here who, if they found a good woman, would appreciate that woman, whereas 99% of women, if they found a good man, would not be able to maintain a good, healthy relationship. They, in some way, would fuck things up. Women do not like harmony. They love drama. They love to be either passive-aggressive or they love to be just overtly bitchy. You can't handle... And I'm not, you know, and given, and now it's
standing
that. But
that's an emotional aptitude,
not,
Joe.
Well, I know. Yeah, but you're saying 25.
A person that hasn't evolved maturely, because let me just say this. That has everything to do with critical thinking and critical listening. If we want to just cut all to the chase and say this, because a lot of this is people who do not know how to handle logic. And they're you know, rushing to emotion as opposed to thinking. Thinking things through, think about why they're thinking,
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? Is it that important? Because I can tell you, I've gone through those phases, and I can say that since I've learned and I've gone to school, I learned the difference between, oh, well, I wasn't thinking about that. I just acted on impulse as opposed to taking the time out to really sit down and listen and think about this and then come back. It's just like I can't come up just because I have you walk in with inflammatory statements or asking all these questions. Look here. When I realize that I'm a woman, he's a man, and I can say what I need to say to him, he says what he needs to say to me, then when we don't need to talk, we just go our separate ways because it's not gonna end well. And so what we need to do is take the time out. As opposed to walking up to one another saying, hey, this, that, and the third, even with the you statement. Many people don't even realize that when you make a you statement, it's, you did this, you did that. Just like what I was saying earlier, I understand that I feel like this and I don't want this. As opposed to every time I'm talking, you got something to say. That's not going to settle. It's not going to settle when I say it to you like that because guess what? I just accused you of something, and now as communication, you're going to defend it. Whether I want to hear you defend it or not, and that causes an escalation in argument.
That's
true. So to a degree, it is how we communicate effectively once we learn, as opposed
okay, you're getting back to communication thing. And again, I'm not discounting communication altogether. What I'm saying is that most people believe it is the key, that if you communicate effectively, that, everything is going to be great. No. If you communicate effectively without having the emotional wherewithal, you can communicate all day long, but people are still going to play games. So communication to me is secondary to having a lack of emotional baggage. And when you come up with 25-30% are emotionally mature, that means 70% of women, just like your boyfriend was thinking, are not. I'm saying 99%, okay, based upon the fact that I've been involved in this for over 20 years, based upon the fact I've talked to people for over 20 years, and a lot of people are not even thinking about something like this. They're thinking about their own personal problems. They don't think about it as an American problem. They don't know about the effects of feminism.
Feminist agenda.
Just about. It's a subliminal feminist agenda. The overt feminist agenda was to make when it was started by Betty Friedan, all she really wanted was to give women the opportunity and the freedom to go out of the house to do what they wanted to do. That was no big thing. Okay?
Right. Hey Joe, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, Rich.
Oh, yeah. No, I wanted to enter in at this particular juncture. You say communication is not everything, and I differ with you on that point, but I would also like to add it's the response to effective communication. So communication does lay the foundation for you to determine that this person is not compatible.
That's a very key point. See, with communication,
me?
You know if that person is not compatible, as you said. But as Cosmic was saying, and other people believe, is that when you communicate, it can make things better.
It usually will. It actually will in most instances, and that's the reason women refuse to communicate. You notice one of the most powerful tools we have in our society, is the ability to cross-examine a person. And you know the judge has the ability to command a person to answer a question, or he'll throw their behinds in the hoosegow. And so the point is that communication is the best tool we have for determining compatibility. Now, I see the nuance that you are pointing out, and I agree with that, by the way. But I'm saying to you, by the same token, it is communication that points up the flaw that this person is not willing to communicate is incompatible, follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So I'm just going to go ahead and lump it under the heading of communication. But I do understand that important point that you're making. That's a good point, because you can communicate with a person who doesn't desire to reciprocate or to participate in a meaningful caring way. So I understand that, but it's communication that drives that out, that determines that.
And I agree with you, because you've been involved in conflict resolution. I think communication is important in order to clear up misunderstandings on both people's parts.
Exactly, yes, that's exactly
true.
Well,
see, I think what Joe was saying is before you get to the misunderstanding, when you realize how many people are not actually adept at handling confrontation, and I think that you can agree with this too, Mr. Solutions, there are some people who are just so difficult that even though you do all this effective communication emotionally, they're just not able to handle it.
Well,
saying,
but that's,
you know,
okay, because you're determining that properly due to the discourse that you're having. Now, one of the problems with women is that women are subsidized by the government, and that doesn't allow them to feel the full effect of reality. Goods and services are taken from men and reassigned to women. So there's a socialistic aspect in America with respect to the genders. That's what the courts do. The courts are very corrupt. They're very perverted. Now, the point to that, because I'm always looking at the solution, is that men have become lazy and sorry where they don't confront the system and women. If women could be happier if men would stand up and just tell the truth. I confront men all the time, and they go, well, what can we do? What can we do?
Hey. Now, this is Tony. From fans. Families also need support systems. Eric, you know better than that.
What I say, at minimum, men can tell the truth. The truth is a powerful energy. A lot of people have not experienced this particular aspect of the truth. But, Joe, I'll give you just a snippet of it. Mm-hmm. The other day, and I think you said a phenomenal thing, you told those women who were incorrigible to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Changed. They changed, at least for that moment. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, and things worked out. So I think sometimes the very power of showing the truth, demonstrating the truth, does have the power to change things. And
well,
that's just one example.
Yeah, it's hopefully. I don't know if Eric's here, but Tony, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, basically, you know, It goes both sides of that system. Now, I mean, I'm just going back on the men, you know, are wussies or whatever as far as facing the women. And you know, in my organization, I mean, I do have an organization, Eric knows about this, but as far as society is concerned, a lot of times it's the men's hands are tied when it comes down to certain situations in society. You know, and I can tell you straight up just from experience of my own recently, you know, I had 80 hours of work put in with two children on child support and received a $3.92 check. Now, whether that proves me as being a weak man, that's one thing, but it looks like my hands are bound because I don't have the strength and power to actually confront the situation because I've been handicapped by the system.
So that's what Mr. Solution was saying, yeah.
I have a question. Your name's Tony?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Have you ever gone back to court to modify that contract?
I've gone back to court. Now, the situation of it is you know, I created an organization to help families and fathers and women, whoever. But I did go actually and create this organization to help others because when it comes down to situations such as my own, I've been handicapped so much to a point that it's almost unaffordable for me to actually fight the system. And I've actually, you know, created, right now I have several motions in court in the state of Minnesota to actually, and I'm in Texas, but the state of Minnesota to actually go back to court and have modifications done on many different points. Because you'll go before the system and they'll say, hey, you know, two families should survive. But the father's family is usually the one that's crippled. So, yeah,
okay,
I have
another.
That.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask the question. This is pertaining to your child's mother.
Yes.
If by any chance she's on, is she on public assistance or getting
you know
insurance
what?
From the state?
You know what? And that's a beautiful question. I'm glad you asked. Because last year, 2011, I went to the court before the case even came to court, and I said, listen, I want to be taken for child support. I want to be taken for health insurance. I don't want my kids in the system. So the entire year of 2011, I had my kids covered under private insurance. And I paid.
And as soon as you put them on state insurance, they started getting you.
No, actually.
That's exactly what happened.
No, actually, what happened was the beginning of 2012, when she never used the insurance in 2011, the private insurance company audited me and asked me if the kids had other insurance, which they found county insurance. So they went ahead and audited me. Long story short, I had to cover the kids once again in 2012 because she got disqualified from Medicaid or whatever the case is. But the state and the county and the court system sent me every doctor's bill from January 1st through September saying that I was court ordered to carry insurance. I have to pay them back every single penny.
Okay, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Did she go down there and tell them she didn't want the insurance?
You know what? That's my guess and your guess. Only the Lord knows that. But
okay,
only
I'm
I know
tell you
is...
Something. In that situation, seriously,
mm-hmm.
She has to go and tell them, I don't want this insurance.
Really?
And she has to go to the damn commissioner of Department of Human Services or whoever issues it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't just, you know, it's kind of like when somebody, I've learned a lot about law. And
okay.
I've learned a lot about contracts. And I've learned one thing for sure. If she had to put it in writing, and put that in a, you know, get it notarized, I refuse, blah, 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 whatever. You can do that. Just like they're trying to take you forward.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, you know, well, did the kids, this is my thing, did the children ever use the health insurance when they went to a doctor at all?
Negative.
Or were they using your health insurance?
No, ma'am. Basically, what they did was they used the county insurance the entire year of 2011. So I paid $200 every 2 weeks times, what, 27 and a half or whatever?
God.
I paid $200 every 2 weeks for 26 weeks for the entire year. They never used my insurance that I was giving them, the private insurance. They were using the county insurance as primary insurance. So now when it comes back to me, I've been crippled because they went ahead and increased my child support and they increased my medical.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Just listen to me, okay?
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
When they increased it in court,
yep.
You were there, right?
No, they increased it, and I just learned about it recently. I just learned about
okay.
it. I'll put it to you this way, sweetheart. I learned about it on the 7th of September, that all of my benefits
okay.
and everything went up to $600 every 2 weeks.
Okay, listen to me. I don't want you to agree to that. I want you to tell them what you're going to pay. And I need you to find a lawyer who understands what contract law is. Because
mm-hmm.
right now, you're dealing in contracts. And
okay.
many people, especially people of color, they don't understand what a contract is.
Uh-huh.
You have to, the only way you're going to do this is if you agree to it. And if you don't agree to it, it goes back to court.
See, and that's exactly
you
where
I'm
at
saying?
Right now.
And I don't know, like, okay. I don't know what you signed. I don't know what you signed initially. It's kind of like one of the things I've learned is that the court system functions under threat, duress, and coercion, TDC. They have threatened
mm-hmm.
you. They put you under duress, and now they're coercing you to get your money. It's basically like extortion, which is
of course.
On your right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness in this country.
Well, you know
so
what? Let me put it to you this way.
Actually,
hey, this is Mr. Solution. May I break in for just a moment?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know the gentleman. Tony, I believe it is?
Yes.
What state are you in, Tony?
Actually, I live in Texas right now, and I have an organization called Families Also Need Support Systems.
I'm sorry, say again?
I have an organization called Families Also Need Support Systems. We help families like mine.
Oh, okay. Well, call this number and see if you can get a referral. Adam Sachs.
Give me 1 second, please.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Wait, I'll let
you. His name is Adam Sachs, S-A-C-K-S. He's at 1-800-340-7320. Now, he's a California-based attorney, and he works out what you call agreement payment plans with men. He's
okay.
very male.
and see if you can get a referral from him. I don't know if he's licensed to practice in Texas, but you may be able to get a referral from him.
Okay. Well, you know,
you are familiar with some of the men's organizations, correct?
I am. You know, I am. And basically what I did, initially what I did, guys, and Eric knows me very well, is I actually created an organization called Fathers Also Need Support Systems, just to help fathers that actually ran into situations like my own. I changed it over to families because I had a lot of people calling me, like just grandmas, grandpas, uncles, and aunts that have children that's, you know, in the middle of these battles. You know, we're at www.fanss.org. Thanks for the plug, Eric. But, I mean, basically what we're doing is we're trying to prevent this from happening to anybody else. I'll be the example right now. But I do appreciate that phone number, and I will give them a call right away tomorrow.
Okay, let me give you the underlying foundation here just briefly. This system is set up to support itself. It doesn't care about kids. It doesn't care about women. It uses men as scapegoats, as part of the socialism to transfer wealth from men to near-do-well women. There's a guy that comes on here. I know he won't mind my saying it because he states it publicly. His name is Joe Neckbone. And Joe Neckbone, I believe he is out of Arkansas, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
What happened to Joe? Tennessee, excuse me. He was required to pay his wife alimony for life. Now, I encourage Joe to fight that vigorously with every, you know, breath in his body. And he even had to get an insurance policy to insure that, I think it was $1,000 a month, for the payment that he pays this woman as long as she lives, or as long as he lives. He has to pay her. That is absolutely outrageous, and I don't think that there are any women that are required to do that. That is a malfeasance that's impossible to calculate. So what men have to do, remember, women got this movement going, and Joe gives a good history of it, but while men were out working, women were out burning their bras and getting favoritism from politicians. Most politicians support women because
You can say that again.
Yeah, they look for the female vote. But let me just say this. Men have become candy asses, if I can say that on your show, Eric. Men don't fight. Men do not fight. And they're the perfect, victims for plundering because they don't fight. Now, your basic problem is you don't have reproductive rights. All the reproductive rights were legally transferred to women. And if women had the opportunity to experience reality as men do, as it really is, then, of course, things would be drastically different. But the system subsidizes women. Like, you go to court, there's a lawyer there to tear you a new anus or new rectum.
Oh, of course.
That law is state-sponsored. Your taxes are paying for the lawyer to rip you a new one.
You're kidding me.
The lawyer is for the woman because she calls all the shots. And they
know
what shots she is going to call.
But see,
so this is something that men need to stop being reptilian and Neanderthal and understand what the game is. You should write your sorry-ass politicians because they know the score. They know what's going on. And, of course, get these laws changed. But there should be a Roe versus Wade for women. I presumably, you love your kids. But a lot of men would not want to have kids, and kids wouldn't be born if the men had a say in vetoing it. I'm not saying a man should be able to tell a woman what to do with her body, but I damn sure am saying a woman shouldn't be able to tell a man to do what to do with his body. And currently, that's the way it is. The law will force you to obey the woman. Okay, now they use the child as the conduit. But it is she that is calling the shots. So men just have to buck up and really see what's going on, fight the system. I think it was North Carolina. North Carolina was throwing men in jail wholesale, and they were saying it was civil and not criminal. but they were taking men's liberty. So a lawsuit was filed to point out, well, regardless as to what you call it a damn banana. These men need an attorney. So North Carolina started crying like a bitch, saying, well, if we give these men an attorney, it will hamper our process. You damn right. Because an attorney will fight for you, and they know they couldn't withstand a fair fight. So oftentimes, see, you're bankrupt trying to fight what your taxes are paying for.
And you know, that's
you
right.
You need to get with the men's group, understand what's really going on. This is a hijacking. This is high sea or high land hijacking. And, of course, women could understand it, and some women do, but most women don't want to understand what's going on. Most women want everything to be in their favor. For men
paying
dates.
Hold on a minute. Let me say this. What I'm trying to get everybody to understand, be they male or female, is that if you don't understand contracts, I don't care if they pull you over and give you a damn speeding ticket. If you don't understand what the contract is, what you're binding yourself to, then you're going to always have a problem in any situation, whatever it may be. It could be the situation with you owning your home or owning a car. How much authority do they have, and what can you sign, what do you agree to, and what do you choose not to? All contracts are made to be modified. I know the show is about to end, so I'm going to be quiet, but I'm going to call back tomorrow and give this number of this guy that understands what I mean when I talk about contracts, because everything he's dealing with at this moment is on a contract. He had to sign it. He probably didn't even realize what he was signing as to how they can garnish your wages. In certain contracts, you can say, you know what, I agree to it, but you're not going to garnish my wages.
Well, you know what?
You're not going to garnish my wages. Many people don't know that.
Before the show ends, Eric, if I may, I'm going to go ahead and give you that website, www.fanss.org. There's a contact us there. You can go ahead and hit me up there and let me know what you're talking about. Basically, what we do is we actually go ahead and help men with their arrears. We help them with their court retainers. We help them with everything that we can to help them fight the system. And I'm so glad that you gave me that phone number, because that might be an outlet that we can team up with to help, you know, fight what's going on.
Well, yeah, you need a what Cosmic is saying is fine. I agree with that, but that's the short term. You need both a short and a long term plan.
Oh,
the long term plan is to get these damn jackbooted confiscatory laws changed in order that they accord fairness per the 14th and 5th Amendment to both sexes. Mm. You've got to be intelligent enough and gutsy enough to do that.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
you do need an attorney, because it's an adversarial system, and you need to be a little bit strong, like the lady is saying, just sign anything they say. But that's where the attorney will assist you. A good attorney, and this guy is very feisty. He's very good, I understand. And he will even set up a payment plan, and hopefully he has a referral there in your local area. And you might think of posting attorneys that are male-friendly on your website so that other men will have an avenue to good legal representation. Does that make sense?
Yep, sure does.
You know, a contract I like to see signed? A contract where, Rich, what you were talking about before is that you didn't want to tell women what to do with their bodies. But here's a contract I like to have signed, where a man and a woman agree that if the woman gets pregnant, that even if the woman wants it, if the man doesn't, have to have an abortion, and vice versa. Now, that's a contract where two people go into a situation with their eyes open, but you can't do that in any state, from what I understand, because the prenup that Rich was talking about before prevails, and that's anti-men.
Wow.
Well, I'll say this, there's something called a morning after pill before you get an abortion, so you might want to mix that in a drink in the morning.
I hear you.
Shit.
Well, you know, they got one for me now, too, supposedly, so we'll see. Hey, y'all, thanks for a great show. Everybody played nice. Outstanding. Hey, I'll be back on at 2 p.m. tomorrow, Central Standard Time, and we got another good topic. It's does the black community need a makeover? So until then, y'all have fun.
All right, good night.
I'm out of here.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.